It blows up.
SMEs as subsidiaries?
Thank
Please,
you.
Please, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Hans. Good afternoon, everyone. So this topic, subsidiaries that are SMEs, this was added to the research pipeline following comments we received on the last agenda consultation. So there was a request that subsidiaries whose parents report under full IFRS might find it beneficial, might be able to save costs if they were permitted to apply recognition and measurement of full IFRS standards, but with reduced disclosure. So at this stage, the project is purely research. So we're investigating the extent to which it would be feasible to permit subsidiaries to actually apply recognition and measurement from full IFRS. But the research that we're looking at is to then take the disclosures from the IFRS for SMEs standard. So we're looking at whether subsidiaries that are already in the scope of this, so could choose to apply this, but for various reasons, probably because they're reporting to their parents on a consolidation pack using full IFRS anyway, don't want to adopt this. But that means we're not looking at all subsidiaries, only those eligible to apply this. So that means any subsidiary that is publicly accountable in its own right. So, for example, if the subsidiary's got listed debt, that's outside the scope of this and therefore outside the scope of the project we're looking at. In addition, there is an because the recognition measurement in full IFRS and in here is slightly different, we're also, part of the research is looking at the extent to which we might need to tailor the disclosures rather than simply lift these completely in their entirety. So that's part of our research. The other part of the research is to establish whether or not there is a demand. So we're talking to preparers, would they actually use it, and talking to jurisdictions, which is the purpose of this afternoon, to establish whether or not you would. So the questions we've actually asked you, we've asked you two questions. So firstly, have you already got a standard that allows subsidiaries or any non-publicly accountable entity reduce disclosure? You know, because if so, is that actually being used? And if not, if you looked at developing one but chose not to, that might also be useful information to us. So have you already looked at developing such a standard in your own jurisdiction, and what was the outcome? And if the board actually progresses this project and moves it to standard setting, issues a standard, would you or jurisdictions in your area actually adopt that standard and permit subsidiaries? So welcome any comments.
Bileng.
Thank you. Okay, for the AOSSG group, we received mixed views from the seven AOSSG member jurisdictions that commented, which I have actually grouped the different views into four different groups. Okay, normally you only have two, but there's four different groups. Okay, first one is jurisdiction that have issued reduced disclosure requirement, for example, Australia and New Zealand. Group two is jurisdiction that has proposed reduced disclosure requirement even before ISB's research project, but they have not proceeded with it. That's Malaysia. And jurisdiction that say they may or will consider reduced disclosure if ISB proceed with such a standard. And we also have another group that say that they may not see the reduced disclosure as appropriate or feasible to adopt the standard. So let me go to the first group, Australia. Australia in 2010 has actually issued the reduced disclosure. Why? To reduce the burden and the cost of preparing and auditing financial statement. That was in 2010. And we understand that currently the Australian Accounting Standards Board is actually replacing that 2010 reduced disclosure because that was developed based on a top-down approach. And now they are considering the bottom-up approach using the IFRS 4SME disclosure. For the second group, the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board also in 2010 has actually proposed a reduced disclosure requirement, but the MSB board did not finalize it after receiving feedback from their constituents. Why? Because the regulators were not supportive. The regulators wanted the subsidiary to provide the same level of disclosure as the PLC parent. Why so? Because it is not uncommon in Malaysia for the PLC parent to be only the investment holding company with all the operations carried out at the subsidiary level. And accordingly, the risk of the group of companies would be reflected at the subsidiary level. Because of that, they want the subsidiary level to actually have the same detailed disclosure. They also think that the reduced disclosure will not really address the issue of reducing cost of financial reporting because of some difference measurement basis between the two frameworks and getting people to really understand the two frameworks. And coming to the third group, which is the jurisdiction that may or will consider the reduced disclosure standards, if ISB were to proceed with that, that's from Pakistan. Pakistan basically informed us that this is because of their view in achieving of convergence with the ISB. So if ISB proceed, then part of their objective to converge with ISB, they may consider the standard. And also Hong Kong. Hong Kong will contribute to the ISB development of the reduced disclosure standard and follow its standard setting due process to consider for adoption. HICPA also shared that based on informal discussion with the practitioners, there were mixed view. One view believed that the preparers will be interested because it will reduce their effort in applying the comprehensive disclosure. But there's another view that noted some unintended costs may be incurred. Why? Because the subsidiary will need to provide a supplementary reporting package for the preparation of the full IFRS disclosure in the consolidated financial statement. So now we come to the fourth group, who may not see the reduced disclosure as appropriate or feasible to adopt. We will inform that, for example, in Korea, if the audited financial statements of the subsidiary include only simplified disclosure, as suggested by the ISB, then the parent entity auditor would determine that the audited financial statements subsidiary might not be sufficient and additional work need to be done. And they, and because of such problem, they do not see the feasibility of adopting the standard. And they also ask the ISB to actually discuss with the relevant organization of the unintended effect in terms of audit before pushing through the project. And we have India who actually thinks that it may not be appropriate to retain IFRS recognition and measurement and use IFRS for SME disclosure because it would give incomplete picture of the financial statement, as sometimes detailed disclosure will assist the stakeholders in better understanding the particular recognition and measurement treatment. So, and again, they also highlighted that between the there will be some mismatch between the underlying principle of the two set of standards, and they give the example of classification and measurement of financial instrument. Then, of course, we have Indonesia also responded to us that they have not adopted IFRS, although their SAK Tier 1 is substantially in line with IFRS, and they have not issued a reduced disclosure regime or framework. There are some other jurisdictions who has not responded because from the paper, they are not sure about certain important question. For example, the paper said they will not create another framework or something like that, a third framework. But then which framework are you going to assert compliance with? Is it compliance with IRS framework or IRS for SME framework? You know, so and also because of the timing, as we know, IRS for SME, the amendments will not be as frequent compared to IRS. Of course, they need to go through the due process before they can respond whether they will be interested or their jurisdiction will be interested. For example, let's say for New Zealand, currently they have a framework. They already have a reduced disclosure framework. But before they consider, they will need to see the new framework, whether there's any difference or otherwise. So I think we have pretty good response, like in such a short period, we have like from 8 jurisdictions. Although it's very interesting, you have 8 and you have like 4 or 5 views.
Can I just respond on that very last point in particular? Because actually I should have said that as part of my opening remarks. The intention, your point about the IFRS for SMEs standard so far is only updated every so many years, stable platform, etc. And actually the intention is that we won't alter that standard. The intention is to maintain that, not procedure, that's not quite the right, but maintain that same ability to allow companies applying this sort of periods of not periods of no change, I guess, and only change every so many years. So the intention at this stage is we will issue a separate standard, and probably, and the board hasn't discussed this because obviously at this stage it's only a research project, so we've not yet had detailed discussion within the board. But at this stage, my thinking is it will probably be part of the IFRS standards. Now, a bit like IFRS 8, IS 33, they only apply to publicly accountable entities. This could potentially be something that only applies to subsidiaries meeting following criteria. So it's certainly the intention is not to change this. And the idea is to look at the extent we might need in that separate standard to say for something like the financial instruments, because the recognition and measurement are different, but, you know, follow these disclosure requirements rather than either, actually. Does that help?
Can I just check with you further to your question? You say it will be part of IFRS standard. Will it then be a choice if, let's say, certain jurisdiction, I just foresee, for example, in Malaysia, let's say the regulators were not supportive. So will it be a choice or, you know, since it's part of the standard, you will have no choice to actually have this reduced disclosure. My second question, recognition and measurement, financial instrument will only be one of the examples. You also have other examples, like a list of it, like the borrowing cost, the goodwill, the intangible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to answer those, because this is only a research project at the moment, we're looking into the feasibility. We've not taken any detailed discussion to the board, so we've not yet taken to the board, would it definitely be part of IFRS standards? If so, would it be mandatory? Would it be optional? So unfortunately, I can't answer that. What we are intending is not to interfere with the whole process of this, whereby the point of this is it remains unchanged for so many years, then there is a change, then it remains unchanged again. So we are looking not to change that. So we're looking to do something else. And on your other point, yes, you are quite right. There are more measurement and recognition differences than just the financial instruments. And I've actually started going through trying to look at, take topic by topic. I've started going through trying to look at what the recognition and measurement differences are and then look at the disclosure requirements of the two and trying to look at the differences and see whether those differences flow from the recognition and measurement differences or actually they don't. They were part and parcel of, yes, we can take those away for an entity that's not publicly accountable. But that's all part and parcel of the research we're undertaking and, you know, the questions to you today is part of that research as well, trying to get more information so that we can then go to the board with some of these issues.
on your question about would it be required or allowed, I think that what you said was absolutely right, but it's not impossible to imagine a standard where you could say you could choose to provide these disclosures if you meet these criteria. Yeah, so somebody could make a different choice. But it's not, you know, we're miles away from that point yet. But.
Paul.
Thank you. We have done some work in this area in the UK. We've probably got two standards which are probably relevant. We've got a standard which is aimed at subsidiaries of publicly quoted companies who have to apply IFRS, and that really is focused in on a reduced disclosure requirements or setting reduced disclosure requirements, but the recognition and measurement criteria remain the same as in IFRS. The second standard, which is targeted more at large private companies, really makes changes and is in effect our UK GAAP, makes changes to recognition and measurement and to disclosure requirements. Now, when we went about our reduced disclosure framework, we really took, as I think you were implying that your research so far has been doing, is looking at what the disclosure requirements are under IFRS and sort of crossing out those bits that we thought were not proportionate. I think with the benefit of a few years' experience of applying our reduced disclosure framework, we would advise to do it the other way around. Actually think about what the specific users of subsidiary accounts are and think of what the disclosure requirements of those particular users might be. And whilst you might get pretty close by doing it either top-down or bottom-up, I do think you'd probably come up with some slightly different disclosures if you looked at it in terms of what's really needed for a subsidiary of a company who's providing full IFRS statements. Your second question in your paper, which is in effect, is there any demand for this? We've not done any specific research based on this paper to see if there is any demand in the UK. From a personal perspective, I think probably unlikely, because there isn't the same benefits of international comparability for subsidiaries as there is at the group level. And the cost of change, if there is already something which is designed in this space. Now, it doesn't mean we wouldn't, but I think the sort of cost-benefit analysis has got quite a big hurdle to overcome before saying, yes, there is a. This is something we're crying out for because we have done some work in this space.
But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're thinking there's there's less likely to be demand in the UK because you've already got your own standard, and
yes.
I understand your point about cost of changing, rather than if you'd not got your own, you still think there wouldn't be a demand in.
I think if we hadn't got our own, then I think we would be very interested in it.
But take up, yes. Thank you.
Daryl?
So it was probably on the same point Elizabeth just picked up on. I was curious to hear whether the standard that you have in the space at the moment is quite widely used. So in other words, in the context of the UK environment, is there high demand for this type of product?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Raymond?
I think from the discussions that we've had, there'd certainly be a need for this sort of standard, because we've got a lot of companies that are not in that large company space, well, not in the listed space, but are large enough for SMEs not to be particularly relevant to them. But they don't necessarily want to, you know, to go the whole hog in terms of the disclosures that IFRS would otherwise require. So from that point of view, I think there'd certainly be a need for something of this nature.
The chair.
Thank you. For question one, I would like to share with you the our experience in China. In China, we have two sets of accounting standards. One is we call the accounting standards for business enterprises, which is very close to IFRS, and we can say it's based on the IFRS. And this set of accounting standards is applied in all the large and medium-sized enterprises in China. And the other set of accounting standards we called accounting standards for small business, for small companies. These standards is applied in the small companies. What is small companies? We follow the criteria set by the State Statistics Bureau. They have a criteria for the small-sized companies. But there are three exceptions. First one, if the small company has a has stock or a bond traded in the public market, in the capital market, it should follow the first standards, that's the accounting standards for the large and the medium-sized. And if the small company is a financial institute, it should also follow the first set of accounting standards. And the third exception is that within a group, the parents and the subsidiaries should follow the same accounting policy. So that means if a small company is the subsidiary of a parent, it should also follow the accounting standards for business enterprises. So that's what's required in China. In addition, the small business, the small company can also is also allowed to choose between the accounting standards for business enterprises and the small and the accounting standards for the small companies. It has option to choose, but if it choose the first one, it cannot choose the small one in the future.
Okay.
So. So in this case, if a small company choose the accounting standards for business enterprises, it should follow the four standards. The disclosure could not be reduced. So that's the four, should follow the four standards. And based on our experience, we think the small company, we call small company, because they are small in size or small in the business volume. So, and if they follow the four accounting standards, not only the definition, the measurement, but also the disclosure is not a problem for them. Because in that case, the disclosure is will be simplified automatically for them. That's our experience. And for question two, when we are talking about the SME for IFRS, actually we have some mixed views currently. The first point is that some people are questioning that which perspective we should use when we are talking about this topic, because in their view, from the perspective of the consolidated financial statement, the subsidiary should use the same accounting policy as the parents, even for the SME. Otherwise, the consolidated financial statement would be confusing. On the other hand, from the perspective of the separate or individual financial statement, they think the SME and the subsidiary may use the SME standards. That means they think maybe the recognition, measurement, and the disclosure might be different. That's the first point. The other point is regarding the preparation of the consolidated financial statement. Because if the reduced disclosure is permitted for the SME, maybe we should consider another problem. That is when there are a lot of SME subsidiaries, then how to determine the level of the materiality when the parents are preparing the consolidated financial statement, that would be a problem. Because for an individual subsidiary, SME, maybe the disclosure can be reduced. However, if there are a lot of subsidiaries, that means take a whole look at the all the subsidiaries, maybe the reduced disclosure might not be proper for the consolidated financial statement. Yeah, that's all.
Linda?
Thanks. So I actually am intrigued by this discussion, but I'd slightly reframe it. So just to set the stage, in Canada, we have no requirement for separate financial statements below the consolidated entity unless you're dealing with a regulated entity like banks or insurers. None whatsoever. So, and we have no reporting requirement for those entities in the private company space who choose to do statements. So that's fact number one. But fact number two is, in our framework, you have to go into the front section of our handbook, and it tells you, so first of all, anybody who wants to can use IFRS if they feel they need it. And then you go kind of through a funnel to say, but if you're not publicly accountable as defined here, then you have the option of using our homegrown standards for private enterprise, or if you're not for profit, you get to use those standards, et cetera. So we have those local standards. But in our jurisdiction, we have some very sophisticated private enterprises who opt to use IFRS. But we also have a lot of small publicly traded companies who would die for something like IFRS recognition and measurement, but simplified disclosures, because simply because they don't have a lot of accounting resource and their compliance costs would be significantly less. So I actually think this is an interesting exercise, and I think we'll think about it in light of the applicability more broadly than subsidiaries. Because when you think about it, if you have a set of standards, if you're a private enterprise and you're thinking about potentially going public, the closer you can get to an IFRS recognition and measurement framework in the years before you go public, the better off you are when you actually do go public, and then you decide whether you need to go to a full IFRS or if you've already got the base for something. So I just think it's got more legs than what you're giving it, potentially, in our marketplace. But the way of getting there is you'd have to work with us, which you already do. So you're stuck with us, but anyway. But like our securities regulators would have to accept the fact that there's a tiering of companies where below a certain threshold, these reduced disclosures could be acceptable for public companies. But in our case, because of the makeup of the demographics of our companies, I actually think there's a lot of power in the work that you're doing. And so we'd encourage you to continue with it, and we're probably going to take a look at some of the work ourselves just to see if it makes sense.
Anne?
Yes, I'm very pleased to follow Linda, because I think one of the things that's coming out of the discussion is that this could be useful in other jurisdictions than from where you've just started with it, in terms of saying it's about subsidiaries and full IFRS and reduced disclosures for them. And Linda's given you an example. And indeed, that's the way it's being thought about in Australia as well. And you've noted in your paper about Australia looking at this. And this group in Australia, these companies are not, it's not targeted at subsidiaries of listed entities. The subsidiaries might be listed in their own right in your examples. So it's not targeted at that. It's for another group. Bi-Ling talked about the 2010 experience in Australia of trying to write these reduced disclosure requirements from the top down, which is where you delete them. And Paul said that's the UK approach. Mm-hmm. And on reflection, Paul said that the UK might have gone the other way. And so my second point, I think, is thinking about this bottom-up approach seems to have a lot of value, and that's the way the AASB have approached it. And Chris can correct me if I'm wrong offline, but as I understand it, that the AASB have approached it as a bottom-up and have found that a much more productive way to go. So I think that's useful for us as well.
Thank you.
Daryl?
So I guess a word of caution, just, and this is a little response to Linda's comments. So the rationale, and by the way, I agree with the bottom-up approach. That's a personal view being expressed around the table, but I think when we thought about this, we were thinking about this in the very simple sense, and Paul, I think you sort of touched on it a little bit, of those entities that in their normal course of business are required, because they're consolidated up the line, to use recognition and measurement requirements of full IFRS, but who are not publicly accountable. And because they're not publicly accountable, the question mark that is raised is it necessary for them to comply with full IFRS disclosure requirements? Now, I think my reservation, just listening to you, Linda, would be that the board, in some of the discussions that we've had around the same topic for IFRS for SMEs and opening the scope for IFRS for SMEs, was this real nervousness about the fact that we think that the users of publicly accountable financial statements, including small listed entities, have different requirements and have a higher level of requirement. And I suspect that this, if we're not careful, and we just need to manage this, I think, from a board perspective, if we were to expand the scope to start saying we're thinking about these other people, I think we risk getting ourselves into the process of thinking, well, do we need to have IFRS for SME plus disclosures at that level?
Yeah, no, I understand. Fair point. But I mean, I think, in fact, in one of the ways, I think I mentioned this to you last week, or I think I was talking at our table last week, but in essence, within a specific jurisdiction, the ISB can't permit or allow anybody to do it. It has to be us, and it has to be our securities regulator. So I'm just simply saying that I think if you think about this in a slightly different frame, there actually may be more power in what you're proposing in terms of how we might take it forward. So I take your reservations, but I also know in our marketplace there may be a broader applicability, and so it may be an interesting thing for us to discuss with our securities regulator.
Sue?
So just following on from that conversation, I think Daryl raises a point which is quite similar to the conversation we had actually at the Advisory Council about the SME project, the bigger project, the separate project. And Linda is perfectly right that obviously jurisdictions get to decide what they apply in their jurisdictions. That's within their control and not ours. And I think the question for us is twofold. One is what population we've got in our heads when we're thinking about the disclosure requirements.
So, actually writing them.
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
But, and secondly, ultimately, when we would allow people to say they're preparing financial statements in accordance with IFRS standards and what that label means.
Right.
Nami.
Thank you. So before answering the questions set out in the agenda paper, I would like to explain how IFRS standards are used in Japan. And first, IFRS standards are not permitted for unlisted companies, including unlisted subsidiaries, except for unlisted companies that are preparing to be listed. And second, when a listed company uses IFRS standards for its consolidated financial statements, that company is required to include the parent's separate financial statements prepared under Japanese GAAP. So IFRS standards can be used for separate financial statements only when such financial statements are presented on a voluntary basis. Lastly, IFRS for SMEs are not used in Japan. So based on this situation, regarding question one, the SBJ has never discussed the use of standards that permit reduced disclosures when applying the recognition and measurement requirements of IFRS standards. And regarding question two, we need to consider whether to adopt full IFRS or IFRS for SMEs for separate financial statements before we discuss the use of the recognition and measurement requirements of IFRS standards with the disclosure requirements of IFRS for SMEs.
Thank you.
Elaine?
Just to add on, when the National Accounting Standards Board proposed the reduced disclosure requirement, we actually look at the bottom-up approach, where we actually look at the IFRS for SME standard disclosure. And just to clarify, in Malaysia, it's a legal requirement for the subsidiary to present separate financial statement. Currently, they have to go on full IFRS.
Patricia?
Well, Europe, of course, is like Canada and Japan. We've got legislative peculiarities. So the moment we're talking about companies that meet the ISB definition of SME, we are into a member state right. We are not into mandatory IFRS. Now, member states vary from, there's a couple that say IFRS for everybody. There are some that allow IFRS, and there are some that say you must use local GAAP. So we talked to our standard setters and said, would you do this if you could have it? And those that allow or permit IFRS strongly supported it. So we did see a market. We asked if there would be enough SMEs, because don't do it, never write a standard for one. And for those jurisdictions that were interested, absolutely yes. And we asked if they thought users would be disadvantaged, because it was a fairly obvious question. And again, we got up, we don't think so. So we're getting some very positive messages from those jurisdictions that permit or mandate the use of IFRS. The one question we did get that was a lot of concern was, will it be in the IFRS suite? Mm-hmm. Will it be part of the IFRS for SME suite, or are you inventing a third one? Mm-hmm. IFRS for SMEs is not adopted in Europe. So if you classified it there, then you'd be cutting people out. We don't know what the decision would be if you invented a third suite, because Europe's geared around IFRS for listed and then member state for SMEs, i.e. non-publicly accountable. If it's in the IFRS series, we are guessing that it would go through the normal comment letter endorsement process, but of course it's far too early to ask that question. So from our point of view, we would prefer to make it available to people, which means for simplicity, we'd like it to be IFRS 18, 19, 20, so that it is then clearly under the IAS regulation and we can take it through the processes. Otherwise, you're going to raise questions for us, and those who want it really do want it.
Thank you.
I'm just starting apologizing here, but I think the people, my jurisdiction, and really myself, I don't think that we understood correctly the issue. The situation in most countries in Latin America is that subsidiaries that are SME do not release financials to anybody. They just send the financials to the headquarters.
Right.
So they are not, if they are not listed or they are not financial institutions that have special, for example, insurance, there are no SME banks in Latin America. There are no SME insurance companies. Even if you are a very small bank, you are treated like a large bank. But if you're an SME subsidiary of a large company, for example, a company in Brazil that has a subsidiary in Chile, and this subsidiary in Chile is not listed or is an SME on most cases. They don't prepare their financials to send to the headquarters, so they don't have any disclosure requirements in that sense because they don't release their financials. So I don't think that we...
Yeah. Well,
the problem doesn't apply. So.
Yeah,
It is only the jurist.
Right.
The jurisdictions where there is a requirement for... No. But in some jurisdictions, the individual entity, no matter what size, whether listed or not, has, like in the UK, for example, has to prepare financial statements.
So they have a depository of financial statements.
The company house, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Statutory reporting, that's
yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think that brings us to the end of our discussions for today. And we'll resume tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Thank you.